Streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The U.S. military saying for the first time it killed Iran-backed Houthi rebels in the Red Sea after coming under attack while responding to a distress call. U.S. Central Command saying Navy helicopters acted in self-defense after being fired upon, sinking three or four small Houthi boats that were trying to attack a container ship. 158 Russian missiles and drones overwhelming Ukrainian air defenses, killing at least 39 people in a brutal 10-hour assault on six major cities this weekend. Ukraine appearing to hit back, striking the city of Belgorod in Russia. Police in Northfield Township, Michigan, around 45 miles outside of Detroit, are investigating a small house explosion that killed four people and critically injured two others. Scott McMillan's a veteran. He lives around a mile away from the exploded house.
Even in war, I have never heard anything of this level at this distance.
The cause of the explosion is under investigation. This is ABC News. One day away from the New Year's Day, and much of the country is seeing a rise in respiratory illnesses, including flu, COVID, and RSV. ABC's M. Nguyen.
The CDC estimates there have been more than 7 million infections and 4,500 deaths from the flu alone this season. The public health agency says flu infections are growing, or likely growing, in almost all states. But COVID-19 remains the main driver of all viral respiratory deaths. COVID hospitalizations have gone up for seven straight weeks, reaching levels not seen since January.
The FBI helping a local police department in Utah investigate the case of a missing foreign exchange student. 17-year-old Chinese foreign exchange student Kai Zhuang went missing Thursday from the home he was sharing with his host family. Riverdale, Utah law enforcement saying that the teen's parents in China told officials that they received a ransom demand along with a photo of their child that would indicate he was abducted. Police say there's no evidence that the teen was forcefully taken from the host family's home. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin voters could see some big changes in 2024 and beyond. Mike Moen explains.
New political boundaries are expected based on a state Supreme Court ruling, while some pro-democracy organizers hope for a different way of choosing candidates. Last week's court decision resulted in current legislative maps, drawn up by Republicans, being tossed out over arguments they were unconstitutional. Researchers have long noted that Wisconsin has some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. Bob Moline with the Western Wisconsin group Grow Action says he's happy with the outcome. He hopes the state takes things a step further by adopting Final Five voting.
It reduces the incentives that create those toxic, hate-filled campaign ads. It reduces the incentives that reward gridlock and extremism in our elections today.
The process essentially creates a nonpartisan primary, with the top five vote-getters moving on to the general election. In that second step, a ranked-choice-style system would be used. Analysts say a potential setback under this approach is voters not being able to discern between moderate and extreme candidates. As for redistricting changes, Moline says it wouldn't be surprising to see Republicans appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. But he says he's still hopeful Wisconsin voters will soon get a chance to cast their ballots under updated boundaries.
This is the best chance we have for truly fair maps, and it's the right process.
Policymakers have a couple of weeks to submit new maps that will be reviewed by court-appointed consultants. Republican leaders have insisted their methods in creating the maps were fair and legal. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any snow and flurries winding down quickly here. We'll see partly sunny skies near 30 degrees on this New Year's Eve day with north winds. If you have plans tonight, count on cold temperatures, mid-teens, and mostly clear skies. Currently 26 degrees.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a pre-recorded, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop it.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin.
Good morning, Earl. How are you?
Hey, you just heard Bobby Portis. I didn't put a Christmas tree up. You know, I guess I'll have to open my presents. What presents and gifts can you give a man, you know, that you can put under a tree who's got everything?
Yeah, I can't think that NBA players are wanting for much. But.
Hey, man, especially material things, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a visit from his family, you know. But I just was thinking, man, before we go to our guests, when I die, man, not if I die, when I die, I want to make sure that Marvin Gaye's What's Going On is played at my funeral. Don't play anything else. Play Marvin Gaye's What's Going On repeatedly. I got to make sure I let my wife know that, you know, and probably put that in writing. man, I've been listening to that song since 1968. And if you haven't listened to the lyrics of What's Going On, you know, by Marvin Gaye, it's as relevant today as it was in 1968. Speaking of relevant people, my guest, Robert Miranda, who is engaged. What is your title with Flack, man? Fresh Water for Life? Or you don't have a title?
Hi, good morning, Howard. I'm a spokesperson for the coalition and the coalition consists of a number of different activists and community leaders, as well as the coalition. FLAC is part of the steering committee of the more broader group, Get the Lead Out Coalition.
So, the President of the United States was here yesterday, and you have been at the forefront of a battle. And again, not alone, many others, but certainly in the city of Milwaukee, you have been in the forefront of battling our city to do away with lead pipes in poor communities where we already knew what the damage of lead could do to children. And yet in our city, like cities across the nation and even in rural areas, leaded pipes in this nation have been poisoning children for far too long. And not only the fact, if they poison children, Robert, then especially in their development from birth, it impacts, it's known that it impacts their ability to learn. It impacts their behavior. All those things at the early ages of development in a child, our government knew it and didn't do anything about it until now. Let's talk a little bit about let's talk a little bit about that, man.
Yeah, it's been scientifically proven for decades that and even during the Roman times, they even knew the dangers that lead possessed and that it would damage the body, the minds of their population. But, you know, we still used it because, you know, people with influence who had money and owned lead mines were able to get governments to look away from the science of all this and still put it in the market and use it as if it was nothing to worry about. And you know, over the years, we've been seeing gradual new science showing the dangers that this presented in the water supply, because back in the late 1800s, a lot of homes all across the country, not only in Milwaukee, were using lead service lines to link to the water mains and then connect into the houses, because lead basically is much more malleable and much able and much easier to use and last longer. And so the selling point for those politicians back then was to go ahead and use it, despite the science showing how dangerous and toxic this could be to the water supply. Fast forward to the present that we are today. You know, our coalition started in 2015, and I do have to say, Earl, I want to give you and radio station and the owners of your radio station much praise and much kudos for allowing us to continue to report to the community about what has been going on here and giving the information to the community where the mainstream media would basically ignore a lot of that information that we were putting out. Your radio show, your radio station played a very instrumental role in helping us push this effort that we started back in 2015.
You were there from the very beginning.
You saw how we laid the foundations of where we are today in the early years in 2015. You saw the attacks we were receiving. You saw the lies. You saw the counter campaigns that we had to experience for the first 2 years. But and you saw that we presented at the Milwaukee Common Council hearing. We presented maps. We presented studies. We argued. We argued successfully with research and facts showing that specifically the city of Milwaukee mandated the placement of lead laterals connecting from the water mains to the inside of the houses. And we released that report. It's a 28-page report. We released that report to the media, and the media here, specifically the Milwaukee Journal, said, no, ignored that. But you didn't. You showed the public, you told the public, you know, the research that we did was instrumental. And we are here today because of the foundations that we laid almost 8 years ago and your help. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank your radio station.
Robert, I recall walking into then Mayor Tom Barrett's office with all the television cameras there, and you guys knocking on the office demanding that the mayor of the city of Milwaukee come out and respond to the facts that you guys had had brought together about the damage that was being done to children in our community, in our city. You took the slings and the arrows. You and others faced the slings and the arrows and the lies, where our city basically said, well, it's not our fault, you know, and we can't afford to do anything about it with just masses of children being poisoned. I couldn't understand, Robert, how people in powerful positions in our city and across this nation have allowed this continuing war on on innocent children in the in the state of Wisconsin, across the entire nation, because we don't want people to misunderstand this. This is not solely a Milwaukee issue. This is an issue across the entire nation.
Right. And it's a very important issue, because lead does affect the children much more and damages the mind of children, lowers the IQ levels, causes behavioral issues. And it also has effects on adults. You know, there are studies out today now that show that lead, if you have been ingesting lead over the years, it causes heart disease, causes all kinds of other issues that people may associate with just the fact that they're getting older, but in fact may have been affected by their continuous drinking of water that was tainted with lead. And, you know, it goes to the heart of what you were saying in regards, how could the government let this continue to happen? And the bottom line on that question, Errol, was the government allowed this to happen because it could not afford to have the public lose trust in the safety of its municipal water. That's the bottom line. They were more concerned about the image of the water supply and the losing of revenue and the losing of confidence in the water supply than they were for our children. And we argued that point against them and told them that is being wicked, that is being indifferent, that is destroying the community, and you guys need to change this. Now, you're absolutely right. This is not just a solely Milwaukee issue. Our organization has been working alongside national organizations as well. And we are instrumental right now in the heart of pushing the lead copper rule that regulates all this stuff with lead pipes and lead in water. And we forced not only this administration, but the Trump administration in the past to make changes. Now, the Trump administration did not make the kind of changes we wanted. The Biden administration came in. Now they're doing changes even more. And we're in the middle of making the final changes to the lead copper rule, where we will hopefully see a more stronger, more aggressive lead copper rule. And hopefully we will eventually see, within 10 years or less, the total dismantling of lead service lines.
So Robert, we've got to go to a break. So when we come back, man, I just want people to understand the depth of what has taken place here, and the turnaround that has transpired in such a short period of time with Joe Biden in office. 844-967-2789. My guest is Robert Miranda of FLAC.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is my good friend, Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life. You know, Robert, the city of Milwaukee was forced by you and Flack. I mean, I've witnessed it to first admit hesitantly that they had some responsibility for the poisoning of children through these leaded pipes. You guys proved that. And when they finally, you know, acquiesced and said, "Uncle," they said, "Okay, well, we'll come up with some money and we can take care of this problem in 60 years. Did I say something incorrect, Robert?
No, they that's the joke that they came out with. Yeah.
they didn't consider it a joke. Robert, they didn't consider it to be a joke.
Yeah, that was a big joke right there. You know, like all of a sudden we were gonna say, "Oh, okay, let's think kumbaya and go away." Yeah, okay.
60 years it was going to take.
Nah, we weren't going to have that. And when we pushed back, we pushed back even harder. And we actually pushed back so hard that it got to the point where they started labeling us as being agents and advocates for lead paint.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the chief of staff of
then Mayor Tom Barrett.
And Barrett went ahead and had a press conference and had the lawyers there for the city who fought on the lead paint industry. And they were like, "Oh, these guys are just agents for the lead paint industry trying to put shade on our water." And I'm like, wow, these guys are really working overtime to try to protect their interests and totally did not care about the health of the community. But the community stayed strong. And I got to compliment our community. Our community stayed behind us. Our community continued to support us. Our community asked questions. Our community demanded answers from us. We provided the science. We provided the facts. We provided the maps. We provided the reports. And when various different organizations saw the truth, saw what we were producing, was without question factual and on target. Well, then you saw other groups spawn off.
Right.
You know, the lot there, after about 2019, during the first 3 years when we laid the foundation of the fight, then you started seeing other groups spawning off from what we have put out there. And that's good that they were out there. We appreciate their efforts as well. But the problem here is that now we're at a point where we've gotten the city now to say, we're going to move these, we're going to push these, we're going to, you know, we still got to get the mayor to go from this 20-year plan to 10-year plan. But once again, the community faces a mainstream media that hesitates, to give credit where credit is due, and that is community advocacy that forced the government to do what needed to be done to protect our community.
Hey, Robert, hang on. Hang on 1 second, Robert. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and thank you for your guest being there, because I do have a couple of questions. So, sir, you replaced the water supply line from the street to the house. Is that correct?
Robert?
Yes, that is correct. That's the line that connects from the water main to the house.
Okay, yes. CJ, go ahead.
Okay, who replaces the lines inside the house? Is that the homeowner's responsibility, and how much does that cost?
So we lost him while he calls back, CJ. I can answer that. That initially, the homeowner was responsible for that, and the homeowner was allowed to put that on his taxes in a 10-year payoff option. But the fight kept going, and now the owners no longer have to pay that freight. The government is going to take care of all of that. That's come under Joe Biden and his Build Back Better plan.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, I had it done in my small town in my parents' house. It's a joke, Earl. It's a fraud.
So
it cost $6,500, and they were there for 3 hours. So it's a scam.
So, you know, ignorance is bliss. Robert, are you back? Robert, did you hear that?
No, I'm sorry.
So the guy said it's a scam. He had it done in his mother's house. All of $6,500. This is all a scam. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, MAGA people are going to say that kind of stuff. So, I'm tired.
Hey, Robert, hang on, man. I want you to give you a chance on the other side. You know, like I said, man, ignorance is bliss. You guys showed all of the scientific, all of it. You forced the government to acquiesce. And yet here's a guy who, you know, Johnny come lately, who somehow knows nothing about the scientific information and the depth of what you guys were able to prove to the government. And yet he can make a statement unfounded in science. 844-967-2789. Robert Miranda, my good friend and just a guy who was willing to keep the battle and the fight alive, and now, you know, these changes are going to take place that are going to really transform young people's lives and change their trajectory of what they can do as adults. 844-967-2789. Robert Miranda is on the line. Don't touch that dial.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The U.S. military saying for the first time it killed Iran-backed Houthi rebels in the Red Sea after coming under attack while responding to a distress call. U.S. Central Command saying Navy helicopters acted in self-defense after being fired upon, sinking three or four small Houthi boats that were trying to attack a container ship. 158 Russian missiles and drones overwhelming Ukrainian air defenses, killing at least 39 people in a brutal 10-hour assault on six major cities this weekend. Ukraine appearing to hit back, striking the city of Belgorod in Russia. Police in Northfield Township, Michigan, around 45 miles outside of Detroit, are investigating a small house explosion that killed four people and critically injured two others. Scott McMillan's a veteran. He lives around a mile away from the exploded house.
Even in war, I have never heard anything of this level at this distance.
The cause of the explosion is under investigation. This is ABC News.
The Packers on Sunday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens reporting from Minneapolis. It's the Packers and the Vikings, both teams trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. The last time the Packers faced the Vikings defense under coordinator Brian Flores, they were held to just 10 points in a 24-10 loss. Quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did some really good things. I think they mix up their coverages, their looks, their pressures. They do a good job of just mixing everything up, keeping you on your toes. Obviously, I think that was our first time seeing it. We'll have a better plan going into it, be able to expect some of the stuff a little bit more. I think they do a good job defensively.
The Vikings will start rookie Jaren Hall at quarterback.
You know, it's always special being in a home game, be my first one to actually play and be out there other than the preseason. The preseason, it was amazing. It was fun. So to see it when it's, truly packed out for the regular season, it'll be awesome.
That's Vikings quarterback Jaren Hall from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any snow and flurries winding down quickly here. We'll see partly sunny skies near 30 degrees on this New Year's Eve day with north winds. If you have plans tonight, count on cold temperatures, mid-teens, and mostly clear skies. Currently 26 degrees.
Stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products and save big money right now at Menards. Procter & Gamble delivers quality products from brands that you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towel, toilet paper, dish soap, and cleaning supplies. Right now, save big money and receive a $10 rebate on a single qualifying purchase for $40 or more on Procter & Gamble products at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Her name is Pam Jahnke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Jahnke, on The Buzz of the North, WBZH, 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't want to be alone for Christmas.
dreams, far away from ones I love.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life Flax. So, Robert, you wanted to respond to the caller who claimed this is all a sham.
Yeah, you know, these kind of folks have been basically locked themselves up in the basement and look at the computer and search all the web things and then come out with all these conspiracies. You know, the bottom line is, he probably wouldn't understand what microgram per deciliter blood levels are, or parts per billion blood, lead and water issues are, or lead copper rule and safety and Safe Water Act and all that other stuff. I mean, it just, anybody can go ahead and look at the computer and punch up Mickey Mouse, and Mickey Mouse might say something and then they'll run with it. So the bottom line is, the work was done by community-minded individuals who see the humanity being affected by the indifference and the lack of action by our government to move on an issue that was destroying the community's children and harming generations. We are now at a point where there is a victory. We're gonna move forward with lead laterals removed, and then we have a meeting with the president of the Common Council and other officials of city Milwaukee government, and we're going to sit down now and discuss how we're going to remove lead pipes inside the house, the regular plumbing, the premises plumbing of the house, because there are houses that have lead pipes as well. So the government part, which is the lateral connecting from the main to the water meter inside the house, which was, again, mind you, mandated by the city of Milwaukee in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we got that victory. That is a victory to get that cost away from the homeowners, because we advocated that homeowners should not be paying for that. However, we will be advocating now for the government to move on a phase two, because it doesn't make sense to remove these lead lines connecting from the main to the house and then still have lead levels in the water, because nothing was done to remove the premises plumbing that is lead in the house. So we're going to be sitting down looking at phase two, how we can mobilize, how we can public education, how we can do what we got to do, get homeowners to invest on removing those pipes from there.
So Robert, so these houses that have the lead pipes in them go all the way up to what year? I mean, when did they stop putting those into homes?
A lot of the lead pipes stopped being put into homes actually around the 1960s, early 1960s. The total use of lead pipes was banned by the United States government back in 1986. But most of the houses that do have lead pipes in the homes would be housing stocks that would go from the early 1900s to, I would say, about 1950, 55, early 1960s.
So the White House's own numbers, up to 10 million households, schools, and care facilities get their drinking water through lead pipes, and each pipe can cost thousands of dollars to replace. So we're not talking about a handful of places. We're talking about, you know, again, schools and other places where, you know, thousands and thousands of children are there, and daycares and other places. We're not just talking about individual homes.
Exactly. We're addressing those too. The city has been effective in addressing
the daycares.
With the school.
Right.
Right. They care. But we need to address the issue with the schools more aggressively. And right now, as it stands, most of, if not all, of the Milwaukee public schools do not have lead lateral issues. They do not have lead lateral issues. That's, again, the pipe connecting from the water main to inside the building.
So Robert, go ahead.
The issue schools are facing is lead infrastructure plumbing, the lead plumbing in the building. That's the issue that the schools are needing to address, and we need to find out how many of these schools have that kind of issue in the school.
So, Robert, in rural areas, this issue is an issue as well, right?
Of course, yes. There are communities in the rural areas. There are smaller townships. They're all over the place. It's a matter of local governments collecting the data that they need to collect to find out where they are and begin the process of removing them. This is a matter of public health that needs to be dealt with seriously. And, you know, we have children who drink these waters from the time they are born, because some people mix this water with the formula and feed it to the babies. And if they're not careful, the highest level of lead content in the water can kill a baby. But if we don't deal with it, we're going to continue to see the lowering of IQ levels of children all over the state. And we're going to continue to see the harming of adults all over the state. And people are going to be paying astronomical health bills later for the poisoning that they have received and ingested from drinking this tainted water from the lead.
You know, Robert, it is. So Joe Biden, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but going back to 2021. He created, you know, a task force to address this. He did it, you know, right away. Excuse me. Hold on. Let's go to John. Let's go to John. Good morning to you, John. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great topic. I think now that we're going to be in the 21st century, we're going to need fresh water.
Yes.
Now, I would say to your guest, I would say to him, when I was a kid, I can remember chewing on the window sill of the house, and I'm sure it had lead paint in it.
Yes.
So what happened to me was I had got put in a special learning disability class to help me how to read and write. That's a fact. What I'm saying to you gentlemen is, please, why don't we think more towards just bottled water for people?
Well, so hang on, because I let Robert respond, but the government knows the impact of lead in children because, what was it, Robert? 50 years ago, they addressed this through lead paint, and the government it created a campaign to get people to tell their children about eating these lead paint chips.
Right, exactly. They actually banned lead paint back in 1978, the government. So long before they banned the lead pipes in 1986. And so there was a major public education campaign on the issue of lead paint.
Right.
And to a large extent, it worked. I mean, it was a very effective education campaign. Homeowners were put on notice. A lot of effort was done to try to mitigate and abate a lot of the issues with lead paint. But during that whole time, nobody really paid attention to what was going on with the water. There was murmurs and mumbling, but there was no real effort to address and pinpoint water. Now, over decades, as we were working on lead paint, we were still seeing high levels of lead poisoning in communities, and people are like, boy, what happened to this education campaign and what's happening? Well, what's happening is we forgot the other important aspect of lead poisoning in our community, and that is the water. And that water was tainted with lead coming from lead pipes. Now, back then, the government would say, well, you know, as long as we reduce the exposure efforts, and it's only going to be, you know, an action concern if it goes to 15 parts per billion. But mind you, what the government was working on when it talks about 15 parts per billion was not a scientifically health-based number. That number is not health-based at all. That's just a number that some government bureaucrat pulled out of his ass and put it into the book and said, this is what we're going to take action on is 15 parts per billion. But the science has shown that no level of lead should be in the water. Zero. And that's the area we should be at. And so even one of the world's most prolific scientists on this issue of lead in health, Dr. Bruce Lamphere out of Simon Fraser University, says that even 3.5 parts per billion in lead in water is too much for children.
You know, and Robert. Go ahead.
And so we have to really continue to do the work that we need to do to try to get to the level of zero lead content in the water, because water is life. And it is the most vital part of our lives, and is used for our cooking and our drinking, and we have to do everything we can to protect
it. And you know, Robert, what used to always frustrate me about this was our government would be all over the world talking about making sure that the rest of the world and other areas had fresh water, right? We would spend exactly. billions of dollars creating right. all kinds of fresh water opportunities for people in third world nations. The United States was out front with that. But then to turn yep. around inside of his own nation and know that this was going on was the thing that was outrageous to me, Robert, and why you know, I was glad that you guys let me hang around. Because I just couldn't understand. And then the other part of this is it took so long. Well, it's really not that long based on when the realization of it started and then where we are today. And the fact that President Biden has been able to make a commitment that no other president before him, not Barack Obama, you know, not Bill Clinton, not George Bush, not Donald Trump. Joe Biden has done this, right? In the face of all this opposition. And why should there have been any opposition to trying to get fresh water for American children? Explain. Riddle me that, Batman.
Like I said earlier, the opposition was basically to protect the image of the water supply in the city. There was no other reason other than that. You got to continue to maintain confidence in the water supply of the city, or else if people stop using that water supply and start going into bottled water or start doing other things, the revenues that the city municipalities and the city water utilities were making would go down, and the city budgets would start being impacted by the lack of use of water, which is also a major contributor.
Hey, Robert, is the simplest term for that Politrix?
It's 844-967-2789.
Guys, hang on. We'll come to you on the other side.
Christmas, I don't want to always roam. So I'll pack and hurry to the track and get
the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
At FoxViewLanes.com.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is still Robert Miranda, Executive Director. Oh, I'm sorry. Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life. Let's go to the phone lines and my good friend Sharky from Racine. Good morning to you, Sharky. How you doing, man?
Good morning. And first off, you did a great job. You made me look tired with your moving around and all the interviews and with your new do. I said, man, I'm really proud of Earl.
Oh, man. No, listen, man, it's the radio station. I'm just a hanger on. Well, thank you.
Well, I got to tell you this. This goes back to when Voss and our buddy Wongard, Senator Wongard, was pushing their budget here in May. They had a situation at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall to talk about the budget. It then got to a point where a very responsible citizen from this area asked about the lead pipes here in Racine County. And really, Mr. Voss and Mr. Wongard did not really want to address the lead pipe issue, but they were more worried about addressing the issue with Mrs. Wolf and the election commission and getting rid of her.
Right, right.
That was very sad. That was very sad. And just recently, former Racine mayor in the last 3 days was talking about the water. And he said, well, if you want good water, just come to Racine. I'm thinking, I believe Racine is on the shores of Lake Michigan, which is number one most polluted body of water in Wisconsin. So these things got to be cleared up. But Racine is in a tough shape as well. On top of it, to Mr. Wongard, his agenda was talking about Title IIIs and his automatic weapons that he owns. And I thought, this is disgusting. I walked out.
Hey, Sharky, man, thank you very much for the call, as always. And Merry Christmas to you if I don't see or hear from you before then. Let's go to Bill from O'Connell. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that what your topic, Earl, is so spot on. I don't see anybody drilling holes in what you're talking about. It's like bulletproof. You've got, I like the plan. I mean, it's something long and coming, and we got to support it. And your last caller alluded to the fact of how the people on the far right, how they deal with it. I'm going to make a quick right turn here, and I need your advice. I would like to meet, this comes from yesterday, CJ at the machine shed any day during the week. The machine shed's in Pewaukee, anytime between 10 and 12. And I would like you to join us, Earl, if you could. If you show up, I'm paying for the dinner.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for the call. So, Robert, so what can people do you know, the battle's not over, right? The fight is not over.
No, the fight is definitely not over. We've got a number of victories. We are very happy with the progress that has been made over the last at least 5 years compared to the prior 4 years. And we see that there is very, very limited hesitation by government officials and bureaucrats to try to sidestep the issue now, because it basically more and more of the citizenry is being informed, educated, and it's out there. So now what we have to do is make sure that the plans are implemented, the plans to remove the lead service lines, that are implemented and done right, and then start formulating a campaign to inform homeowners. We're not done yet. We still have to remove lead pipes in your home. And so there has to be some kind of plan or tax credit or kind of tax rebate or something put together to motivate homeowners to remove the lead pipes that are in their homes. They're going to have to invest in it. They're going to have to pay for that themselves to make it happen. But at least they don't have two major cost issues to address for bringing in fresh, clean water into their house.
Well, you know, Robert.
Water in Milwaukee.
Go ahead.
The water in Milwaukee is good. The water in Milwaukee is very good. And we do have to remove mains and stuff, but by and large, the water is good. It's when the water goes through these lead pipes that it becomes tainted and starts harming the community.
You know, Robert, I said that in the city of Milwaukee, if you own a home, you can write this off. Actually takes 10 years of taxes. They'll add it to your property tax bill in incrementally over 10 years to pay it off. So you do have an option.
Yep. You do. And we got to inform homeowners of that. I mean, it's not
right.
We don't want to get into a situation where Madison removed their lead pipes a few years back before Milwaukee, but they were still experiencing higher numbers of lead in the water. Not as high as it used to be, but it still was high, and nobody was figuring out. Then they did an audit, and the audit revealed that, well, you know, we did the right thing, but we didn't tell the homeowners to remove the lead pipes in the house. We don't want to face that in Milwaukee. We want to make that an issue. We want to make that a campaign, and hopefully we could do where not only as the city removes the lead laterals, but they're working with the homeowners to go ahead and move the lead pipes out of the internal premises of their homes.
Well, you know, Robert, as long as I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to have a platform, you're going to continue to have one, because the work that has been done is yeoman. And, you know, people say you can't take on City Hall. You've done it, right? And won. Okay. Hey, listen, brother, we'll talk soon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. It's Robert Miranda, good friend and fighter. You know, he's not just a veteran, but he's a veteran of, you know, he's a fighter for the community and a person that I'm really happy to call a good friend. Got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things, you know, turkeys. We can talk a little bit about, you know, Christmas and some other things. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.